Well, we thank the Lord again this morning that we can be together and worship His holy name. Thank the Lord for that privilege that we have, that we know of the Lord. We've been speaking for a couple of Sundays. We had a lesson on what spiritual people were like and spirituality and what that means, being really truly spiritual. It says, ye which are spiritual, the Bible says a couple of places. And then last Sunday we talked about Enoch and how that he walked with God and how that Enoch was a spiritual man. And we spoke a little of Daniel. On Enoch we mentioned how that the word there says he walked with God. He set himself to walk. He was fixedly purposed and determined to live for God. Enoch made it his business to walk with God. And so he did walk with the Lord. And these men that walked with the Lord, it wasn't by accident. It wasn't because they were special people. It was because they heard God's voice. They heard His call and they responded and they walked with the Lord in their life. And you and I have the same privilege, every one of us. He has made His entrance to all men. And so we want to serve the Lord in that way. The Bible tells us that, it says, remember those which have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, I'm thinking of following those that have went before us, those that have been of faith, those that have lived for the Lord, and following their faith and following their manner of life and their manner of devotion to God. And we thought about Abraham, and I want to look a little bit more at Abraham after a while. But, you know, Abraham heard the call of God and he followed Him. And Abraham was called the friend of God. Enoch wasn't the only person that walked with God. There's many people through the centuries that's walked with God. And you know, I don't think that the Lord said, you know, I want that man to walk with me. I think these people heard the call of God. And I believe we can hear the call today. And so, you know, this being a friend of God and walking with God, that wasn't for some chosen one. We find men all through the Bible. And it always makes me to wonder. I wonder how many others like Abraham that God called. I wonder how many did God call somebody before Abraham? They didn't respond. I don't know. He called Adam and Eve. He made them. He walked with them. And they went after their own lusts. And Paul speaks of one there that that went after the things of this world and considered the things of this life. And, you know, all through the centuries, God has called millions of people, I'm persuaded. He's put His call out there, and He's still calling today. And, you know, this morning, I want to look at a few others, and I want to consider a little different aspect than last week that we had. We were speaking really of those that walked with God last week. This week I want to think about hearing the call of God and responding. And our response to that call. Because I'm persuaded God walks these aisles and calls our hearts. He walks beside our bed at night. He sends His angel and He wakes people up. And He said in one place there, I believe it was Job, where that He speaks to men, wakes in their sleep. And you know, we're following the faith and the faithfulness of those that have went behind us. And so this morning I want to look at Isaiah 6. And 1-9, Isaiah was, I look at the writings of Isaiah and I'm amazed at how many times the Lord spoke through him and spoke prophecy through Isaiah. Many prophetic utterances that he made that Isaiah gave concerning the things of God. And we find them coming to pass. And we find many things that Isaiah said concerning the Lord as if he knew. And yet here he was hundreds of years before Christ. And in Isaiah 6:1, but Isaiah had a call. And you look at this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and this train filled the temple. You know, I believe many times the Lord, and I've watched people, I've watched a lot of people that didn't get saved, but I watched the Lord wake them up. I watched them get a vision of something besides themselves in this life. And I saw them wake up and see a vision of the Lord. And he said here, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, Isaiah got a vision, didn't he? He saw into something. Has the Lord ever caused your understanding to open and you saw the glory of God? You got a little glimpse? Now, Isaiah here was a sinful man, it says. He himself confessed that. But God gave him a little vision. God gave him a call. He wanted Isaiah to know, I'm real and I'm here. Wonder how many people have had this same kind of call. I wonder how many people God has called. But listen to Isaiah's response. It says, he saw this and he saw them crying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The Jews believed that if you saw God, that you was going to die. Or if you saw a real special, like angels or something like that, that soon after that you would die. And so when he saw this vision here, he said, Woe is me, because I'm unclean. And he thought he was probably going to die soon after that. But it says, Then flew one of the seraphims unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. You know, first Isaiah saw the Lord, and then he saw his need. And then the Lord filled his need. And then something else happened. It says, And he said, Lo, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. The world is still the same in that way. You tell people, but not so many listen. Not everybody hears it. But the Lord, when he touched Isaiah, and Isaiah allowed him, he saw his need, he confessed his need. God touched him. God cleaned him. He said, Your iniquity is purged. Your sin is taken away. And you know, then he heard the voice of the Lord. Who shall we send? He says, Who will go for us? And you know, it doesn't even say he asked Isaiah. Isaiah said, Here, send me. Here I am. Lord, you clean me up. Send me. You know, I just want to challenge us this morning. There's been a lot of people hear the voice of the Lord. But not too many say, Lord, use me. Lord, use my life. We're talking about spiritual people. We're talking about people that have heard the voice and the call of God this morning. And I want to challenge us to hear. And when we hear the Lord speak, He's speaking for a reason. He just gave Isaiah the opportunity. Who shall we send? He heard that. He overheard that. And he said, here am I, send me. You know, this morning, that's the way the Lord's army is made up. It's made up of people that have submitted themselves and said, Lord, here am I. I want you to use my life. I want my life to count for something more. Lord, I have a vision of something greater. I've seen you. I've seen your ways. I've seen your plan. I've seen your call. And it's greater than anything this world has to offer. Lord, use my life. Let my life count for something more than what this world has to offer. How many people see that? How many people see the vision and hear the call and say, I'll turn from it. I want your ways. Lord, use my life. Whatever it costs me, use my life. I believe Isaiah got a little vision of something that changed him forever. And you know, I've been amazed. You read through all the prophecies, chapter after chapter in Isaiah, the Lord speaking through him. Don't you know that was a blessing, the inspiration of the Almighty in his life, working, speaking like that, using Isaiah? You know, this morning the Lord wants to use our lives. These men that we follow were not just men that said, Lord, I want to leave the sin behind, but I want my life. I want my life. I just want to leave the sin behind, and I want heaven. I want that, but I don't want really use somebody else. Let somebody else do your work. The Lord's looking for folks, and He's just got His call out there. Who can we send? Who will go for us? Who is there here that will say, Lord, I don't have anything to offer? Isaiah said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't have anything to offer you. He saw his need. God filled his need. And then God used his life. And all the rest of his life, God used Isaiah. What a blessing it was to the world. What a blessing it is to us today to have the prophecies written down that Isaiah penned. You know, it's a great blessing to us. I think about how many times, and I didn't realize this until it just seemed like the Lord started speaking to me about it. But, you know, there's been a lot of people called like this. In Luke 5 and 8, we find Peter, where the Lord began to speak to him. That's Luke 5 and 8. And here was these fishermen. Fishermen, okay? They weren't well-educated people. They were fishermen. Sometimes kind of probably almost always a little bit more of a rough crew. And here was four fishermen out there fishing. And the Lord comes along to two of them. And you know what he told these ones? He told Peter, he said, he had fished all night. Peter was tired. He hadn't caught anything. But he said, go out and cast your nets on the other side. You know what the Lord was doing here? He was giving Peter a vision. He was letting Peter see a little bit of the divine. A little bit of God. That God is greater than these things. And so he said, launch out into the deep, verse 4, and let down your nets for a draught. Excuse me. And so Peter did that. And then it says that they had so many fish in their nets until their nets began to break. And he called unto his partners, James and John. And they come over, and Zebedee. They come over and began to help. I don't know who all was partners there, but it says some of them were. And you know, and both ships, it says, began to sink. You know, this was amazing. This was really amazing. They fished all night and didn't catch anything. And then the Lord said, hey, just cast it on the other side of your boat. And they did that and got so many fish they couldn't keep them in their nets. Their ships began to sink. You know what Peter did? He had a vision right there. There's something more than normal here. And when Simon Peter saw it, verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." The Lord didn't have anybody to call but these kind of men. He don't have anybody today to call but sinful men. He calls them, then he cleans them up, just like he did Isaiah. And then he gives them a job to do. So Peter, he just confessed, "Lord," he fell at Jesus' knees. He knew something was really different here. God was visiting Peter, wasn't he? And he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." And the commentary says that this same idea the Jews had, that if you saw a miraculous work of God, you would die soon after that. They were afraid of that, even back there when they heard God in the mount, and they were afraid. They were afraid they were going to die because they had heard God. And it says, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." You know, the Lord called Simon right there. He didn't have to go, but he called him. Wonder how many people today the Lord's called. Wonder how many times he's called and people say, "Well, I got some other things I got to take care of first, and then I'll be there." And they never get there. They didn't hear the call. They didn't go when they could. And Jesus said that we're not fit for the kingdom of God if we look back toward the things of this world. And so it says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Isn't that a wonderful happening there with Peter? How that Peter came first he saw the Lord. First the Lord visited him. God gave him a vision of something. "Here I am." And then Peter saw his need. And then God called him. You know, that's the way it works this morning. We have to say, "Lord, here I am. Here I am. Send me, Lord." You know, we look on down. I don't know if it's in the same chapter here. But we find, maybe it's in Luke, or I mean, maybe it's in Matthew or one of the others. But then he went right on to call James and John too. And there he called four of his disciples, just rough men, right off of the water. Right out of their work, he called them. And you know, I look at all of that. We don't have any excuse. We probably all have more education than some of them. We probably all have a better situation to be able to leave. They had all their stuff here, all their boats, their nets, everything there. And it sounds like they just left them and they followed him. It says they left all and followed him. Maybe Zebedee had a lot of work to do after that. Clean those nets, mend those nets now. All that work, they left it because God wanted them to follow him. You know, I'm not really thinking altogether of just leaving our work and jobs. God calls people for that. But you know, the Lord wants us to leave it in our heart. He wants us to just say, "Lord, I want your will in my life. And I'm leaving whatever is my will behind. I want your ways to be done in my life. I'd really like for you to have your ways fulfilled in my heart and life." You know, there's another one that God called like that. In Acts 9 and 1, we see the Apostle Paul. And thank the Lord, we have many awesome writings and scriptures that God gave us. But listen to this, how it started. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Same thing again, isn't it? God made his approach to him. Has God ever made an approach to you? You ever been in a service, maybe, and the Lord started making you tremble, and you saw a little picture of God, and you realized, God's talking to me. Here, Saul, it says, was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He was set against the people of God, but he was ignorant in it. And so he had mercy for that reason. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? See, the Lord was showing Saul something. He was showing him who he was. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, sometimes the Lord comes to people and he says, I'm the one that you're cursing, using my name in vain. And he makes his approach to people in different ways, I believe. Moving on down, we all know this story very well. It says, and the Lord said unto him, starting at 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Thank the Lord this morning. He's a chosen vessel. Ananias, I know. You go your way. This man's chosen vessel unto me. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, and we know that story. And Ananias went in and he prayed for Saul, and Saul received his sight. God made his approach to Saul. Does God approach everybody like that? Not everybody's ignorant as Saul was. We're not as ignorant as Saul. The Lord doesn't have to strike us down with a light. We know God is. We've seen him work. We've seen him do miracles. We've seen him work with our hearts. We've felt the conviction. We've felt the glory of God come down in our meetings from time to time. And we've seen that, haven't we? And so we don't need an experience just like this. But God makes his approach to us too. All that's necessary is for him to make his approach to us. So we know who he is. So we know who we are and who we aren't. And then the Lord kind of leaves it up to us. We don't have to follow him. Saul was ignorant. He wanted to do God's will more than anything else. That's why he was out killing the saints, because he thought he was doing God's will. He was already hungering after God's will in his life, though he was so ignorant and undone in the things of God. You know, this morning, saints, young people, hear the call. I know when we were young, that's one thing I wanted. I wasn't raised here, but I tell you, when I started catching a glimpse and seeing what God was and what he had, I started hungering. I wanted it more than anything else. And I remember when we were young, we wanted more than anything else. And I'm not just saying this. Our desire was, Lord, use our life. Use our life. I want my life to be used for your cause. You know, young folks and children, start hungering. Tell the Lord, I want you to use my life. My life is short. And I believe these things mean something. When I got a vision of what God was, I want to tell you something. Put such a hunger in my heart. until I started longing for those things. And this morning the Lord wants to help us to hunger and long after the things of God. Long after His ways in our life. That's the kind of people we're following. That's the kind of people whose faith we're following. See, Saul, the Lord came and did all of this, but Saul already had the hunger in his heart. He had already been asking God for His direction and help. And so the Lord wasn't imposing anything on Saul here. He was answering Saul's prayer. Saul just didn't know it at first. You know, well, I want to read this here about James and John in Matthew 4 and 21. Another place here. Now they had already seen what the Lord had done with Peter, and they had helped land those fish and everything. In verse 21 of 4 says, "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren." That was after he called Peter and Andrew his brother. "He saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Now it sounds like that he just called them and they had no previous knowledge. But they had been in on this excursion here, that where the Lord had revealed himself to them. And they, like Peter and Andrew, just left it and followed the Lord. This morning, We just want to encourage all of us. Follow the Lord. Just hear His call. Hear His voice. These aren't real special people. These were fishermen. I don't think Peter was any special guy. he was dynamic, full of energy. He was outspoken. He had a lot of learning to do. The Lord had to do a lot of work on Peter. But Peter was one of God's people. Just like you and me. And Peter wants the Lord wants us also to be one of His people. You know, the scripture talks about Abraham. In James 2 and 23 it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." But I want to look back at Abraham's beginnings. In Genesis 12 and 1, it's so inspiring to me to see how the Lord worked with these different ones and how they responded to Him. And often I've wondered with Abraham, wonder how many others God called. I wonder how many others God worked with that heard the voice just like Abraham did. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Now wait a minute, God said all this to him. You know, surely Abram had a reason to go. You know, God spoke to Jonah too. And Jonah knew it. He knew he was doing God's bidding. And he went the other way. Not everybody has went this way. And if we're not careful, we won't go this way either. We have to allow God's entrance to our life and say, "Yes, Lord." And not only "Yes, Lord," but "Lord, use my life. Lord, teach me your ways. Show me your paths. Bring me close to you. I will leave my ways behind. I will leave my things behind. I will leave the things of my will behind. And I'll take your will." And you know, when we do that, I believe the Lord begins to become very real to us. And He does. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. You ever had the Lord appear unto you? You ever had a special visit from the Lord? I believe we do from time to time. If we live for the Lord, He's going to visit us from time to time in some special ways. And we're going to know He visited us. And you know, Abram knew this, but I want to look a little farther in 22:1 and look at what the Lord did. Now, the Lord promised that in His seed, the Lord had promised Abraham a son, hadn't He? But you know what? The Lord wanted to know that Abraham loved Him and not the things He gave him. And it came to pass, 22:1, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. You know, this was a great thing, because this was Abraham's son. This was the son of promise. This was the one that God said, I'm going to give you all these blessings through this. You know what? The Lord's going to test our faith sometimes. He may give to us, and He may take away. And you know, it says over in verse 9, just reading a little more of this here. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. You ever trusted God like that? Until it looked like disaster. This was where Abraham got some of his victories. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is called, said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Isn't that wonderful how the Lord visited Abraham like that? The Lord visited him, and He was with him, and He called him the friend of God. But Abraham feared God. He obeyed Him. You know, Jesus said something very deep. He said, If you love me, keep my commandments. Abraham loved God. He wanted to serve God more than he wanted his own way. You know, the Lord knows that. That's something that the Lord knew. He said, Now I know that you love me. You know, the Lord loves that. This is the kind of people that we are following. It speaks of whose faith follow, whose faithfulness follow. You know, this morning, we're not going to be asked. I don't believe God's going to ask any of us to slay our son. But I'll tell you what. He may ask for some other things. He may ask for some other things that are close to our heart. And we may have to give them up to Him. But that's the kind of people we're following. Peter loved to fish. When he got disillusioned and the Lord died, you know what Peter did? He went back to fishing. And the Lord came back and found him, didn't he? And this isn't your place, Peter. I'm putting words in his mouth there. That's kind of what he said. This isn't your place, Peter. You know, Peter got a little disillusioned. He loved to fish, I'm guessing. He liked his job. His job brought security to him. He probably got back out there on that water and just felt like, ooh, this is something I feel good about. But you know, it wasn't God's will. Peter had to give it up. And so I don't know what it is in our life, all of us. We all have a life. We all have a different life. We have different things in our life. And the Lord wants to ask us, will you come and follow me? Will you be one of my witnesses to this world? Will you let me use your life to show what it means to the world to be a true Christian? A world that is denying there is a God. A world that is constantly casting out on every hand our government. Now they're approaching the military, trying to cast out everything with Christ that they can. Beginning to encroach in ways that it's going to get a lot worse, I'm guessing. But you know what? The Lord's looking for some folks that will stand up and that will follow the call of God, that He can work through, that He can show Himself mighty through. We read the stories of the old saints. I want to tell you, we get in their shoes, we'll see the same things they saw if we serve God like they did. In John 4 and 34, close with this scripture, I suppose. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his words. Jesus was our prime example, wasn't he? He was our perfect example. And he said, the thing that feeds me is to do the will of the Father. You know, this morning, I don't think that was just something for Jesus. Jesus wants us to have a heart like that too. Lord, I just want to do your will in life. Now that's going to involve a job maybe. That's going to involve, we're all going to have to work. We have jobs to do. We have things we have to do. That's the will of God. Let's do it well. Let's be examples where we are. Let's not be afraid to live for God and bear the reproach of the cross when we need to, where we need to. You know, we're following people like that. They heard the call. They saw their need. They knew they couldn't fill that need. They knew they weren't even righteous when the Lord first talked to them. You know what? The Lord calls all of us when we're not righteous. He calls us to be saved. He shows us that there is something here. I remember one person we were working with one time, trying to help him come to a place to get saved. And I watched the Lord work with them until I saw them. They wanted to get saved. They knew without a doubt there was something there and they wanted to get saved. But then there was a couple of things. Just all I know of was two things. And they didn't want to let loose of those two things. You know, I've seen other people come through and get saved and give their all to God. That's wonderful when you see that. But we are people. We are the guardian of our life and of our soul. We have to make sure we let loose. We have to make sure that we hear the call. And when we hear the call, that we say, here am I, Lord. Send me, use me. I'm available. I want to do your will. I want my meat to be, Lord, I want it to be to do the will of God. You know, if we'll do those little things and be faithful to it and become a servant in this life, you know what becomes available to us? All the promises of God are yea and amen to those kind of people, to those that believe and follow Him. All the promises of God, all the good things of God, and at the end of life, life everlasting. I believe this, and I know many of us here do, but I want to encourage every one of us, believe it enough to say, Lord, I'm going to make the plunge. because I know you are. I know you're talking to my heart, and I want you to have your will in my life. Your will, completely. All your will. I don't want my ways. I really want to know your will, because that's what I want to do. And you know, the Lord's going to start working right where we are. He started with Isaiah, and he cleansed his lips. That's the first thing he did. And he started with Peter. Peter said, I'm a sinful man. The Lord said, come here, I got a work for you to do. The Lord has a work for everybody to do. Everybody. He wants to clean them up, make them one of His shining examples of God's grace in their life, and begin to use them. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants our life to be more than hanging on. You know, somehow, I hope someday I'll make it. God's grace wants to come into our heart and life, where we can do just like Isaiah and Paul and Peter and Jesus and all the others that have allowed Him to, and become a real witness of God's life in this life. Y'all pray for me.